Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12 and a half pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast, our video edition. I'm John Porton here with Tom Crawford, our man in East Lansing, the guy that holds it all together for the Wolverines up there. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Holds it all together, man. That's a pretty hefty job description up here. But we're sitting here, on June 1st? You know what summer means to me, countdown to college football, you know, media days. And then when that beautiful four-color hard copy comes out from the Wolverine, the preview issue, and you get all excited about that, and then camp opens and college football opens Labor Day weekend. I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
Speaking of that football preview, I had a conversation today with one Oluwatimi, Michigan's brand new center. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we got to get that down before the season rolls around because everybody will be talking about him. The Michigan's new center, Remington Award finalist from last year. And we'll be talking about Michigan football here briefly. We need to lead off with Michigan basketball. And that is because the word has come out that you've got one player who is not going to be considering coming back to Michigan. And that's a little bit of a surprise because of the two remaining out there, Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate. Musa Diabate was the one that wasn't gaining ground on the draft board. And yet we hear he is not coming back to Michigan. He's all done.
Yeah, John, I mean, we've been talking about that with Musa, you know, since February. And, I mean, and, you know, from my sources, I mean, I everybody said he's not coming back. I mean, this started in March. And sometimes if, you know, you're going to rationalize anything, you want to be in the NBA or you want to go pro, you don't want to go to college, you don't want to go to class. And I think if you survey a lot of the college basketball players of all levels in college basketball, do they like going to class? No. They don't like going to class. Work. It's time consuming. And you know, or at least you know in your own mindset, listen, I'm not going to get my degree. So, you know, why do I, you know, I don't want to put myself through this misery of having to, you know, prepare for class and things like that. So I even though I had a gut, you know, following my people I talked to that I trust, I didn't think he was coming back. I didn't think either were coming back. And I know as we're taping this at 1 o'clock, and full disclosure to our viewers of the Wolverine podcast, I think by the time some of you will have heard this, Caleb Houston will announce trickle out that he's going. But I call the NBA the MPA, the National Potential Association, and that's all it basically is. And that's what they're leveraging these kids on. And what I don't like about it, John, like all about this stuff, we're sitting here at June 1st, the deadline's midnight. These kids are holding a program that gave them an opportunity for a platform to exercise their skill set hostage until the very last moment that they have to say it has to trickle out. That irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah, I hear that. And yet, given the process that they've been handed, I mean, I suppose they could announce on their way as soon as they say, okay, I'm going to accept this invitation to NBA camp, that I'm gone. But what if you're truly one of those guys that say, I do want to hear from the NBA, but I don't know. I might want to be coming back.
Well, Caleb, I mean, not only, you know, he didn't go to the combine. You know, he's basically playing his cards like, I got enough feedback. I'm gonna go sit in the clubhouse. I finished my round of golf, in other words. I'm going to sit in the clubhouse and just let it organically happen. You know, because I think he's worried about going to the combine and then his stock goes down. Because all it takes, it's like if you're job hunting or you're looking for a spouse, it just takes one, right? It takes one to like you, one to love you, okay?
There you go.
And for some reason, he's got some team in the, you know, that's in the top 20 in the first 28 picks of round one in the NBA draft later this month that evidently is going to choose him. And that's all it takes. It takes one. One to love you, and you're good. And that's all. And that's what's going to happen to him.
So given that dynamic, we're looking at a situation where, you had two guys highly rated. I'm sure some Michigan fans were looking at this and, man, these guys are really going to make some runs in the NCAA and deliver some Big Ten championships, things like that. And, boom, after a year where you do make the Sweet 16 after some real ups and downs during the regular season, they're gone. Now, next year rolls around, and you are in the hunt for the next Musa Diabate or Caleb Houston or somebody that is maybe a cut below, but might be sticking around for 2 or 3 years. Does that factor into your thinking if you're Juwan Howard?
No, if I'm Juwan Howard, if I'm any coach in college basketball at the higher levels, I look at every year. I stay in the moment. I stay in the year. I look at every year as a blank canvas. Like, okay, guys, after the NCAA tournament finished, we're starting all over. We're starting all over. You have to be in a starting all over mentality, and you're constantly evaluating your personnel. You're looking at the transfer portal. You're trying to anticipate who on your existing team is going to jump into that transfer portal. You're trying to anticipate on guys you have who are going to try to make it in the NBA. Are they going to hold out? Are they going to come back to us, test the waters like Hunter Dickinson last year worked out? And he actually came back 2 years. You're going to have that happen. It's constant evaluation of your personnel on a daily, almost hourly basis. I would not want to be a coach in college basketball right now relative to what it was like, 10, 20 years ago, much easier. And when you got NILs and you got teams plucking everybody, and this is not just college basketball. We went into that college football thing and all the rant about that between A&M and Alabama. I mean, it's crazy times in intercollegiate sports. And I think you have either sport, you have to look at every year as a one-year entity, okay? And so you were talking about, you just mentioned the term 2 or 3 years down the road. No, there's no such thing. That concept does not even apply to intercollegiate athletics anymore. It's stay in the now, what's up next year.
All right, fair enough. I would say this, out of the three guys that were out there as possibilities for the NBA, if you had to pick one that you got to keep, and that was going to make you an instant Big Ten contender in 2022-23, rather, it would be Hunter Dickinson, just because of the size, that he's an established player down there. Those other guys, again, you said the word potential and flashes at times, but not the kind of dominant performance it's going to carry you. So I think, you know, if you'd have gone into this thing saying, okay, three guys into the draft, you get to keep one, just about everybody would have said Hunter Dickinson.
Well, yeah, because and that's a great – I'm glad you brought that up with the – you know, contrasting the three. But because with Hunter, he went through that process, and we saw he got better this year in some regards in the perimeter, but he still has improvement. He's smart enough to realize he's got to improve his game. He's also smart enough to realize – he's not going to be the most athletic potential player in the NBA. He just doesn't have it in his DNA, and he's going to have to find other other ways of applying himself and be maybe perhaps a role player in the NBA where you can still make a lot of money. But the thing about Hunter, he was at least more consistent and a consistent contributor to this Michigan basketball team than, you know, Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston. I mean, there were moments when Caleb would just, you know, he'd have back-to-back games when he had had, you know, maybe he had two field goals. Sometimes he had zero field goals. He'd get four or five bounds sometimes, turn the ball over. I mean, it was a nightmare for the most part with Caleb Houston because you're waiting for that moment of his arrival, if you will. A couple times it happened. He looked pretty good. I think it was against Colorado State. He had a decent game, had some big shots. First round of the NC2A. But with Musa, whenever he got the ball in the post, yeah, he would get the flush sometimes and dunk it. A lot of times he'd get the ball knocked out of his hands. He turned the ball over. We saw that. And so as, you know, banging your head against the garage door moments watching Musa, but regardless, both are, you know, once again, as we speak, I think Caleb's gone, but Musa's definitely gone. And best of luck to him. Boy, that was a short run with the Wolverines, that's for sure.
No doubt. We'll see if he's banging bodies down low in the NBA or something else in the near future.
And overseas. Could
be the same with Caleb Houston. We'll keep a close eye on that. We're going to flip it over to football now because we've seen that Athlon Sports has come out with its all Big Ten preseason team anyway, and Michigan well represented with 17 on the units as a whole. First teamers, running back Blake Corum, left tackle Ryan Hayes, defensive tackle Mozzie Smith, and graduate level kicker Jake Moody. Your thoughts on the guys that who were identified as preseason all Big Ten first teamers for Athlon?
Yeah, I like them. Floyd Carr say I like them all. You know, Ryan Hayes, sometimes you get a gut feeling about a kid. I just think he's going to be maybe that Jake Long we've been waiting for. Who knows? I don't know. I just think he's got so much potential when you talk to people who's way smarter than me about what he's accomplished in his game and what potentially he could accomplish in his game. I just think he's that's the one that sticks out in my mind. I mean, there's a lot of players. I mean, when you look at the two deeps, John, of this team coming up here in the fall, you see a lot of names, multiple names on both sides of the ball that have played relevant minutes when the game was on the line. And that adds to so much depth, let alone the incoming, let alone a few outstanding incoming freshmen who are indeed going to play right off the bat, one on offense and one on defense in particular. And I just think that this is going to – depth is not going to be an issue for this team. It's just execution is the issue.
I would agree with that. Second teamers on the Athlon team, Donovan Edwards at running back, Olusegun Oluwatimi
there at center. You need to train us how to say his name, John. Now, you did that with authority. I love it.
We're gonna have some workouts. See, I might have to train Jansen and Karsh for their. I'm sure they're more practiced than I am at that. But Zach Zinter is your third guy. Here's something that I want to throw at you because this is red meat for Tom Crawford. Athlon lists not only a first team but a second, third, and fourth. And on none of those teams, precisely none of those teams, appears the name Cade McNamara. Now, I think that's a mistake. I think that the Big Ten championship winning quarterback, as he described himself quite accurately, deserves to be at least among the top four in a preseason all Big Ten. Your thoughts, Tom Crawford?
Well, I'm laughing because I got in a rant on our television show, Press Pass with Jack Ebel, with Rico Beard and I. And I went on a little rant, if you will. I mean, I'm just saying that you know how I feel about the schedule for Michigan. I'm disappointed.
I do.
But the plus side of this schedule is this. Early on, in you know, those home games against the cupcakes of of the group of five opponents that Michigan has. J.J. McCarthy can have plenty of opportunity to show his wares, show what he actually can do more than 20% of the snaps in situational quarterback situations, to potentially earn more playing time, if not the starting knot. And Rico went on and said, oh, my God, you got kids. The guy took you to the big, you're like all these Michigan people, and you're like, stay out of our, you know, stay out of our sandbox, Rico. You fear J.J. McCarthy is what I accused him of. Because I think in the bottom line is he has more of a threat to the Ohio States, the Michigan States, the Penn States than Cade McNamara. So I just, that's just how I feel, John. I know you are in the other, you swim in that other lane right next to me. I mean, we both want good things to happen, but you're in a different quarterback patronage than I am. I just see, whether I'm educated or not, I just see an incredible high ceiling for J.J. McCarthy. And if he had the opportunity, he will just blossom this year and be an ultimate great quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines.
Well, we shall see. He's overcoming that sore shoulder, and absolute best of luck to him working his way through this summer and into the fall. I am excited about the future for J.J. McCarthy, no question. I'm excited about his present for the Wolverines. I have zero against this young man, but I do maintain, as my very large friend Doug Skeen likes to say, that here's how he framed it. If you can run the football and don't throw it to the other team, you're going to win a lot of football games. And I get the whole, but with the feet and with the arm strength and everything, J.J. is a very, very attractive quarterback. I think he's going to be a great one. I do not think at this point it's time to try and shove Cade McNamara aside. But
if I could interject on what you and Skeen, you know, and I understand what you're saying, okay, mm-hmm. and he's saying, the big fella. However, I mean, I think that works for 11 of those opponents, except Ohio State, that 12th opponent. And that 13th opponent potentially out there, if you have high aspirations of your team not only getting the CFP, but winning that first game and getting to the title game, and even, God forbid, winning a national championship for the Michigan Wolverines, you can't have a serviceable quarterback where you don't throw it to the opposition and you have a good running game. I think you're going to need much more dynamic play out of your quarterback than what you guys describe.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things in response. I think certainly Cade McNamara proved that you can beat Ohio State with him at quarterback and did so last year. Two, I don't – you know, when I say this or repeat what Doug said, it sounds as if I am saying that Cade McNamara has no real upside throwing the football. I don't believe that. I think that he demonstrated at times that he can unload downfield like he did against the Buckeyes a couple times. And it also makes it sound like, well, J.J. McCarthy is going to be interception prone or some such thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that either. But what we have is a demonstrated quarterback who can who last year was a Brian Griese type in terms of very low interception totals, running the show, great recognition on what to run, where not to go with the ball, where to go with the ball, all of that. So, and I, you know, I never want to come across as denigrating J.J. McCarthy, because I just think this kid's going to be a terrific quarterback as well. So I guess mine is more of a devil's advocate against those who say it's got to be J.J. and it's got to be now.
Well, no, I don't look at you as putting down J.J. at all. I've never accused you of that, John. But I just think he needs more opportunity. And this is where this was my premise on the show the other night, was this schedule allows where it's not just situational thing where he's only going to get a few snaps in the fourth quarter You know, throw some, you know, some Hail Mary to Daylon Baldwin at the end. But I don't know. I want him, engineering the offense for several series in a row, which we truly haven't seen. We've only seen this. Here's our guy, J.J. McCarthy. Oh, next play. He's coming up. And how do you get any continuity? How do you get any flow? How do you get any rhythm? As they always talk about rhythm as a quarterback, when you're having that type of erratic participation.
So is Tom Crawford ready to advocate for the Brady-Henson split early in the 2022 season?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, against those group of five teams, I mean, let's see what the young man has in year number two, okay? I always thought the whole line of thinking was you compete for your job every day in practice, okay? Yeah. You have to prove it in practice every day. You just don't assume it's my job. Oh, I got the starting now. I'm in the program here for game one against Colorado State, so I'm good for the year. It doesn't work that – it shouldn't work that way. I don't think it does work that way. I hope the hell it doesn't work that way at Michigan.
Jim Harbaugh says you rent the position. We will see how it all – who gets the most rental time this season. Finally, before we let you go, we got to mention baseball. Certainly the Wolverines come up big at the end of the season, win the Big Ten tournament, knock off – Rutgers, and they find themselves in the NCAA against Oregon on Friday.
Yeah, full transparency admittance right here. It's the first college baseball game I literally watched in its entirety was that game against Rutgers after Michigan, at the tail end of the Iowa game, that second game when they blew out the Hawkeyes. So I was all about Michigan baseball because Michigan's all about Big Ten championships. I think they've had 16 Big Ten titles now, even tournament titles in the last year, and 21 to 22 combined. So it's just amazing. No, I thought it was when you beat you go in there with no assurance of getting the NCAA tournament, with the exception of winning it all, and you beat the top four seeds to win it all. That's crazy, crazy accomplishment. And for Eric Bakich, I am so happy for that team. And now they get to, I guess they go to Louisville now to start first round play. And, they're playing with house money. They had no expectation. These are the kind of teams that people worry about playing when, they sneak in there and they're loose as a goose. And maybe Michigan will make a decent run.
They have definitely earned their way. We'll keep a close eye on them. Talk about the results there next week and continue to keep our eye on the NBA and the Wolverines that may be headed there, along with football. That's our constant. Tom Crawford, great to have you with us. Appreciate your contributions and your effervescent take on all things Michigan.
With an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, right, JB? You and I both, thanks so much for having me on, JB. It's truly an honor.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.